Continuing on, we've looked at what it takes to be saved. Now we're going through the difficult passages that seem to suggest otherwise. We've looked at passages of scripture that at first glance seem to indicate that one needed to be baptized to be saved, and we showed you how they could be understood otherwise. And remember, the Bible clearly teaches salvation by faith. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? There's one response: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not two, not four, not ten. Jesus said, he who believes on me is not condemned. He who believes not is condemned already. It's clear. So either these passages mean something else or the Bible is incoherent. Okay? We have to take what Jesus says clearly, what Paul says clearly, and it's over and over again what the Bible teaches. So whatever seems to say something else must be understood in light of the clear passages. That's what we're standing on as far as the Word of God. Find clear passages about the topic and hold to those, and then seek to understand other passages in light of those. And that's the review. I don't think I have any more on review here. Now, the question today is, repentance required for salvation? Does one have to repent to be saved? Now, that's a little trickier to answer than yes or no until you explain what repent means. Fair? You can't say yes or no until we have an agreement that repent means this, right? A lot of people will say, well, you're gutting the gospel when you remove repentance and you have to repent of your sins in order to be saved. And it's like, okay, my question would be, what does the Bible say, right? Not what we say, what have you heard over and over, which sometimes we take as truth, right? You've heard politicians and even dictators say, if you say something long enough, people will believe it. That's true even in teaching in the Bible, I mean in churches and so on. Is repentance required for salvation? Does one have to repent to be saved? A key passage, and the one that most people go to, is Acts 2:38. And here it is up front for you. It's also in your notes, at the very top of your notes. But Acts 2:38, the day of Pentecost, when the baptism of the Spirit occurred, when the church was birthed, was born, when the church began, Peter preached a sermon after there was the sound of rushing wind and the tongues of fire. It appeared as tongues of fire. Wasn't real fire. Peter preached a sermon. He goes actually into a lot of Old Testament detail. Why? Because he's preaching to Jews that know the Old Testament, so he can engage them in that way. And he tells them that they've crucified the Lord. And their response ultimately after part of his sermon is, what can we do about this? And so he said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So people say, look, well, then you must repent. Again, I want to take you back. If Jesus said, he who believes on him is not condemned, that's a de facto statement that if you add anything to that, you're changing what Jesus says, or you're saying that Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. So what does repent mean in light of that? We've already talked about baptize. So you have questions, go back to that lesson 2 weeks ago. But let's get started here. Number one, observations of repent as used in Acts 2:38. Because sometimes repent is used in different ways, and I'll get into those. Letter A here. By itself, the verse can be interpreted in different ways. If you take any verse by itself, just like Ezekiel 37 that we just looked at, if you take just a section of it by itself, you can come to many different conclusions. But we need to look at the context of the verse, of the passage on either side of the verse, of the book, and also the entire Bible. There's a context here. You can't just take one verse and run with it. That is why we have so much confusion. One reason we gave is that people do not take passages of Scripture in context. We've shared that over and over in different ways. One Sunday school class about 4 weeks ago, was why is there so much confusion, right? And there we also presented 10 different confusing ways, and this is one of them, repent. So by itself, the verse can be interpreted in different ways, but you cannot take a verse by itself. There's a context, even within Acts 2. Letter B, some interpretations conflict with other passages of Scripture. So you should exclude those immediately. We said that about baptism. The passages that indicate, seem to suggest baptism need to mean something else, and they can be understood that way without violating any interpretation principles. They're going to be understand to correlate with what Jesus said, what Paul said, what Peter said. So if it conflicts, then we know conflicts with what the Bible says clearly and abundantly elsewhere, we need to reject that interpretation. Okay? Also, it needs to be understood, it can be interpreted in a way that doesn't conflict. That's what we're looking for. How can this be made to fit what Jesus said? Letter C. No verse stands alone. It must align with the rest of Scripture. Kind of saying it a different way. You have to use the rest of Scripture to explain this. And then letter D. Whatever repent means, it cannot go against the rest of Scripture. So I said it four different ways here. Right? Whatever this means in Acts 2:38, for example, it cannot go against the rest of Scripture. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It didn't say he repented and believed, as an example. Romans 4:5, but to him who does not work but believes, not believes and repents. Okay? The Bible is either wholly accurate and all of these verses will work together, or we're wasting our time. That's the other option. Number two. By the way, I believe that the Bible is wholly accurate, if there's any doubt. Repentance. Why is it important? It is important. The topic is important. The word is important. Four reasons here. Letter A, repent is a term used in the Bible, which is inspired by God, right? It is in the Bible, at least in our English versions, the word repent. Obviously, it's an English word, not a Greek word. But it's here. What does it mean? Because whatever it means, we need to preach it. Letter B, to understand the term and how it is used to avoid error. Why is it important? We need to understand what repent means. Not ignore the word, no, but to understand the word so we can rightly divide the word, so we can avoid error. And even inaccurate gospel presentations. Letter C, if needed for salvation, we need to preach this. We're not arguing. If the Bible says that you need to repent as a step to be saved, we want to say that, right? We're not trying to get out of saying something that the Bible says. I would simply put forth, and I haven't explained it yet, that it's not a separate step. Otherwise, it doesn't fit with what Jesus and Paul said and Peter and abundantly other places, John throughout his gospel. These things are written that you might believe, right? Not believe and repent. Letter D. If not required salvation, we need to understand why. We need to have a working knowledge of the word repent because it is used so much in the wrong way. And if we understand how it's used in Scripture, it will help us avoid error and help us to explain what it does mean. Number three, repentance, the terms, verb and noun. So here they are, and I'm not trying to bore you, but in order to properly understand the Bible, sometimes you need the background word. So the verb, which we would translate repent, like what Peter uses in Acts 2:38, is metanoeo. When you see this noeo, like no, it's your mind. Metanoeo, to think after, to change one's mind. I've seen people argue that it doesn't mean that. Well, it certainly does. It's an afterthought, or you think and now you thought again, and this is what you've come to. It's used how many times in the New Testament? 34 times. And you're saying, who cares? Big deal. Well, it's only used 34 times in the entire New Testament. Now, that might sound a lot, but hang with me. In 32 verses, sometimes it's used more than one time in a verse. The noun form, repentance, and it's very similar, metanoeo, verbs in Greek often in o, metanoia, later knowledge, afterthought, change of mind, repentance as a noun. It's used 22 times in 22 verses. So add these together, what do we get? Who's a math major here? 56. Got it? Not hard. And I'm just observing right now, okay? Those are the words. Number four. The question is, how are the verb repent and the noun repentance used in the New Testament? Right? How are they used? Regarding salvation, letter A. Regarding salvation, repent and repentance are terms used closely with believe and belief. Okay? Closely. Now, I haven't explained it yet. I haven't put it all in detail, but they work regarding, when they're used in the context of salvation, they're used closely with believe and belief. I'll explain more as we go. Believing in something, now think about this, believing in something is a change of mind. Correct? So when someone believes in something, you can say it a couple different ways. They believed in something else, and now they believe in this. Or they didn't believe it and now they do. Either way, it's a change of mind. Something has changed in their mind, so now they're believing when before they were not believing. Believing is then what? A change of mind. It is. It's a change of mind. I believe when before I didn't believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, which assumes that you presently do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That idea, that's an implication. So they're together. Believing is in something is a change of mind from something to something. You weren't believing and now you are. You were believing in something else, now you believe in this. Okay, now, letter B. These terms are used together with believe or belief only, do you see this in your notes? How many times? Four times. Four times in the entire New Testament These are combined together. Now, I would think that if, for instance, John wanted you to be saved by writing his 21 chapters of the Gospel of John, he would have piled that in there if it was needed. Okay, if that's a requirement, it should be there every time the gospel is shared or somebody didn't give enough information for a person to be saved in reality. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if it requires you to repent and believe, they didn't give them accurate information. They were inaccurate and incomplete. The Bible suggests that if you believe, you will be saved. That's what it clearly says, right? These terms are used together with believe or believe only four times, and none require a different meaning apart from belief. So let's look at these four times. I put them in the notes here. Mark 1:15 is the first time we see it. This is Jesus saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, if repent is a change of mind, let's see if I have these in the notes or up on the screen here. Yeah, here they are. So if repent is a change of mind, this is a command, by the way. What if we say change your mind and believe the gospel? Does that fit the meaning of believe and not require something else? Change your mind and believe the gospel, right? If it means anything else, then it breaks what the rest of the Bible says. But it makes sense here. Change your mind and believe. I've been reading on this some, but repent is from the Latin, and it actually is a word that means regret. That is not what the Greek word means. And that's where we get some of the confusion. It's an English word. Oh, what does the Greek word actually mean? But change your mind. By the way, you'll never find repent of your sins in a gospel message in the Bible. Did you know that? Isn't that interesting? And a lot of, and it's not that we say you don't have to acknowledge that you're a sinner. You acknowledge your sinfulness. But nowhere does the Bible say repent of your sins and believe. And I hear that over and over. Okay, there has to be an acknowledgement that I'm sinful. I need to be saved. But if you have to jettison all of your sin, I would suggest that you will never be saved. God paid for all your sin through Jesus on the cross, but if it requires you to do something with your sin, you are hopelessly lost because you will never be free of sin until we are free of sin. We're glorified, right? But anyway, repent, change your mind and believe the gospel. Acts 19:4, then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, changing of mind. By the way, this is not the gospel per se. What did John preach? Basically, a baptism of repentance, of a change of mind. It looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. All right, it wasn't how to be saved to go to heaven. It was how to get ready for the Messiah to come. But it's a change of mind. And notice here what it says. John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should what? Not repent, believe, right? And it basically equates the two. It's a baptism of repentance, and he calls on them to believe. Right? It's not two different things. It's the same thing. Acts 20:21. This is Paul talking to the Ephesian elders, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks Repentance toward God and faith, or another word for faith, belief toward our Lord Jesus Christ. A change of mind toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice here, it doesn't mention sin at all again, right? It's a change of mind toward God. Isn't that what the salvation is? A change of mind toward God, ultimately. And then belief toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And the last place where these two are used together, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles, Hebrews 6:1, of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of belief toward God, or faith toward God. A change of mind from dead works. All right, thinking that we can get saved by our, Hebrews is written in a Jewish context, saved by our routines, our actions. The Jews sometimes would hold on to that. It's a repentance from dead works, that legalism that doesn't save. You're not saved by your works. If you don't keep the whole law, you're guilty of the law. You offend in one point, you're guilty of all the law. It's not works that save you, it's belief that saves you. It's a change of mind from dead works, belief toward God. So nothing violates that idea of the four that they're used together. How many times are the terms used together, either verbs or the rest of these are nouns, except this is a verb too. They should believe. Four times, and none of them violate the idea. Okay? Now let's keep going here. Letter C under number four. Repent most often is not qualified. There we go. And I put down here in your notes, never repent of sin. You can say no, repent of your sins, or never repent of sins. Isn't that interesting? And that's used a lot because we think regret in our mind. We think of the English term. And so we have to tie regret to something. So we tie it to sins. And so we need to repent of our sins. But the Bible never tells you to repent of your sins for salvation. Now that's kind of a red flag there. If the Bible doesn't say it, why do we say it? And what does repent mean then? What are you doing with your sins? When we call people and say that, call people to repent of their sins, what are you even asking people to do?
One thing I heard about repent is in the military, the things can change, you know, and it's a different person.
Yes, but I would say that the going in the opposite direction is the aftermath of repenting. Because one thing is, some people say, well, if you repent, there will be works to show repentance. Okay. Number one, where does it say that in the Bible? John did something like that, baptism of repentance and show works of repentance. Again, it was looking toward the Messiah, not salvation directly. But if I've changed my mind and believed, if I go in a different direction, and that's what repent means, which direction, how far in that direction, and what happens if I'm not going in that direction? Is salvation a point in time or a process? And I would say, as the Bible seems to indicate, it's a birth, right? It's a point in time. So I'm saying, I'll give you an example of changing direction from driving. You're driving along and you realize you missed your exit. At what point does the change of mind take place? When you turn around or before then? Does that make sense? So I like to separate the two. So there's often logical results to the change of mind, but we have to separate the change of mind from the logical results, if that makes sense, because then we're in almost the works verifying salvation kind of thing. It's like, well, okay, what's the change? What's the exit in my life? You know, we're trying to figure out the whole idea of, we talked about sitting in the chair or getting on the elevator or whatever. I believe that any change of life first starts with a change of mind. And those are two separate things. So I think they're closely associated. I don't think you're going to turn around and go the other way to find the exit that you missed until you've repented. You've changed your mind, if that makes sense. So those are the, I know it sounds petty, but I think it's huge. If we think it's the, if this repentance is a change of life, how much change? And it's like you didn't all completely change. Not that I know you well, Sam, but I could ask Jolene and she could probably verify that. You could ask Jay to get the same answer. You know, well, he's really not completely sanctified yet, to say it very nicely, right? Right? So it's believe whatever repent means, it can't mean more than believe. And if I believe that, you know, that I've missed the turn or I'm going the wrong direction, at the point I say I need to turn around, that's my change of mind. And then the turning around is a result of that. So I separate the two because I think you get into a works verification salvation that we can't measure up to ultimately. So, but it's, I'm glad you brought that up. It's
changing.
It's
what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yep. And it's the change of mind before you actually take that change of action that has to come first. And that's what I call repentance. Yep. Okay. There's no repent of sins in the Bible. Okay. All right. Very good. Are we on number five now? How are the repent terms used in Acts? I shortened it on the slide here, but how are the terms repent and repentance used in Acts? Now listen to this. People quote Acts 2:38 and say you have to repent in order to be saved. What does Peter not say in Acts 2:38, by the way? What word does he not use? Believe. You notice that? He doesn't use the term believe. Why not? Well, I would suggest that he uses the term repent interchangeably with believe. Okay? Letter A here. Several interchangeable terms are used in Acts 2. So if we read the context of Acts 2:38, not just take the verse itself, but read the context, this is what we find. Here we go. Look here. There's four verses, just pieces of them. Here's Acts 2:38, and it says repent here, right? In Acts 2:38. But what about 40, verse 40? And he exhorted them saying, be saved. So he uses a different term rather than repent. Guess what? In verse 41, it uses a different term. It doesn't use repent. And it doesn't use be saved. It says those who gladly received his word. Another synonym phrase for repent. And notice here, and they continued steadfastly. And verse 44, now all who what? Believed. It doesn't say all who repented. If repented was anything more than believe, this would have to be modified. This would have to say repented and believed or something like that. They're used interchangeably. Be saved, repent, received his word, and believed are used interchangeably. But Acts 2 calls them the ones who believed, not the ones who repented. Though you could say that, and be accurate, but that's not the term the Bible used, right? So repent and believe are used interchangeably, even in Acts 2. If people would just read the entire chapter rather than one verse, right? The context, as we see, is what's ignored over and over in these kinds of situations. And again, by people that mean very well, but they don't read the entire passage. Letter B here, under 5. Acts only uses both terms a total of 9 times. How many chapters are in the book of Acts? 28, right? 28 chapters. Do you realize that repent and repentance, Acts is the missions book, right? In the New Testament, it's the missions book. It's giving you the history of how the church preaches the gospel, right? Is witnessing. Isn't it interesting that the entire book of Acts, 28 chapters, and all of the different sermons and explanations, all of that, only uses repent and repentance a total together of 9 times. That seems horrifically terrible if repentance is a step needed. Wouldn't you say? That's like, okay, if... I'm trying to think of an example here, but it's like, if you're talking about fishing and you need to use a certain kind of bait, you would think that you would see that over and over again. The bait would be discussion here. If you're talking about salvation and repentance is required for salvation, why would it only be used 9 times in all of Acts for all the different times Peter and Paul and others shared the gospel? They forgot to bring out the word repent. If it's needed, and my point is that this illustrates that it actually is synonymous. It means the same thing as believe, ultimately, and I'll explain that. Here they are, by the way, in your notes. I think I have them on here. Here they are. They're all in your notes here. Repent. That's the verse we just looked at. Repent, therefore, and be converted. That God also granted Gentiles repentance, a change of mind to life. Now commands all men everywhere to repent. That's when Paul spoke to the Gentiles. A baptism, John, we already quoted this, but a baptism, repentance, saying that people should believe, equates the two here. And then chapter 20, 21, testifying to Jews and also Greeks, repentance toward God and faith. We looked at that one as well. It's a change of mind toward God and belief. It doesn't change anything, but those are the 9 times in all of Acts that it's used, either term, verb or noun. And it's like, if we're saying that repentance or repent is required to be saved, then Luke didn't know that. And the people he recorded didn't know that. We're putting words in their mouth, actually, because the Word of God has to change our minds, not us put something into the Word of God. Okay? Number 6. How are the forms of believed used in place of? Okay. Letter A. Believe, the verb, is used in Acts 37 times. How many times do we say repent is used in Acts? Repent or repentance? A total of what? 9 times in all 28 chapters. The verb believe is used 37 times in Acts. Here's a couple. It even calls them, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, not repenters, though I believe that would be technically still accurate. But the Bible defaults to the term believers, not repenters. I don't think the word repenter occurs in the Bible. And By him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. This is Paul preaching to Jews. So he references the law of Moses. But everyone who believes, not repents and believes or whatever, right? And again, I'm saying repent is not wrong. It means basically the same thing as believes. And we can't say it. A verse like this, this is another one of these very clear verses. By him, everyone who believes one step is justified. That's clear. All right. And otherwise, we're making the Bible say something that contradicts verses like this, for example. Let's letter B here, and you have it in your notes. The noun form of belief is used in Acts 15 times. So 52 times, believe or belief is used in Acts. And that's the predominant term in Acts. Here's a few of them. Then the word of God spread, Acts 6, 7. And the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the belief, right? Testified 2021 again. This is one that we've seen already. But faith or belief toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the noun form. This is, by the way, just an Acts. All right. Questions or comments? Number 7. This is actually the last point, and the rest of them are summary statements. Okay? So number 7. How are the terms used in all of Scripture? And we could say this in letter A. What did Jesus clearly say about what saves? And we point to, and we give you other references, but John 3:18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I give you a couple more out of John that say basically the same thing. And again, whatever this means, whatever repent means, it cannot mean more than this. Otherwise, Jesus is either ignorant, and I don't believe that, he's the Son of God, or he's dishonest. No, he's the Holy Son of God. He told us the truth. We just confuse it. Letter B. Those responding in Acts are called believers, not repenters. I already pointed that out. But again, I only say that because it's basically interchangeable, but believers is the default word. All who believed, and this is believing ones, usually it's usually a verb used as a noun here. Letter C. Peter uses believe in place of repent and other places in Acts. Well, that's funny. How come we quote Acts 2:38, but we don't quote Peter in Acts 10? What does he say in 10? To him, all the prophets witnessed that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. By the way, that's almost, he doesn't mention baptize here, though Cornelius is baptized in Acts 10 later, right? But notice, remission of sins is what is received when somebody repents. Guess what he says here? Whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. You get the same result. It's the same thing. They are interchangeable terms, not separate steps. This, again, you have to look. It's like he's using a different term and people are holding on to repent. And he doesn't, by the way, use this term in Acts 2:38. Right? He uses another, but they have the same result, so they must be the same thing. Letter D. In Acts, repent is used with Paul 4 times. Believe is used 34 times. How's that for slanted? Paul just preferred the word believe. We're not being unbiblical by not using the term repent. We're being biblical just like Paul or Jesus, okay, or Peter even. That's what you usually get. Someone saying, well, you're being unbiblical. You're not sharing the whole gospel. And it's like, no, really, you need to look and see what the Bible actually says rather than repeating things that you've heard but not studied, right? Acts 16:31, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Again, one step, not two. Whatever repent is, it cannot replace this step. It's the only step. It has to mean the same thing. The New Testament uses believe and belief as the primary terms, not repent. Now, let me blow your socks off of this one. I repeated the count at the bottom of the page here. Repent throughout the entire New Testament is used 34 times, the verb. The noun repentance is used 22 times throughout the entire New Testament, a total of 56 times. Believe, the verb, is 241 times in the New Testament. Belief or faith, the noun, is used 243 times for a total of 484 times. Right? So when I say, and by the way, I've looked at every one of these. I have these out in sheets if you want me to email them to you, both the repent and the noun forms, verb forms, and all of that. But to say that you have to use repent is saying that all of these are misleading. And that's not true. These establish what is true. Repentance then must be understood in light of what is overwhelmingly presented in the rest of the New Testament. Now, not every one of repentance occurrences has to do with salvation, and not everyone of believe or belief has to do with salvation, but it's the common term. It is the term for sharing the gospel. You know, even John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whoever that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever repents, no, whoever believes, it's just the default term. That's the primary term. Repent is just the change of mind idea. So here's summary statements. All the rest are summary statements. They'll go fast. Repent means to change one's mind. Again, and I would differentiate remind, or changing mind is different to behavior or direction change. I think you have to change your mind before you can have those others, right? As we talked about. The meaning, though changing one's mind will often lead to a change in behavior or direction, the meaning of the term repent itself does not include either of those ideas. It's a change of mind first, which is a separate thing from a change of behavior or change of direction. Number two, when repent is used, it is used almost always in place of believe. Only 4 passages exist where believe or belief are used together. We looked at those early on. None of these passages requires repentance to be something beyond a changing of one's mind from believing something else to believing in what God has revealed. The more common term used for the gospel presentations is believe. Otherwise, it's either or, it's not both, right? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. He doesn't say repent and believe and be baptized. He just uses the term. So the only ones you have to worry about are the ones where there's both together. There's only 4 and we explain. They don't throw anything off. It's almost always in place of believe. When you change your mind, You are believing in something else. When you believe, you are changing your mind. They're synonymous. I don't know if I have it in my notes here, but I see it this way. I say that it's almost the same, because I would say this. This is my hand, and it's a coin. Okay? Repent. I just got an echo that was really weird. Repent looks at the back side of the coin as well as the front side. It's from something to something. Does that make sense? You're changing from either not believing to believing, or believing something else to believing what is right. Believing is just the front side, and it implies the back. Believe on something implies that you were either not believing or you're believing in something else. Repent is looking at kind of both sides. It's a change of mind, where believing is just the result of that change of mind. Does that make sense? You either stop believing in something and believe in what's true now, or you weren't believing in anything and now you're believing in this. But either is a change of mind. And whenever you believe, you have changed your mind, either from not believing it to believing it, or from believing something else to believing this. That's the only difference that I would suggest is there. Repent kind of looks at the whole coin. Belief looks at just the one side of the coin and implies the other. But it's just, they can be used synonymously. They're the same thing. All right, number three. Repenting is not a separate step from believing. You cannot get that anywhere in the Bible. You have to start combining different passages of Scripture out of context together to get steps to be saved. Because it's clearly taught in the Bible what it takes to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repenting is not a separate step from believing. Repenting happens when someone believes. Repent emphasizes a change of belief from something to something. That's what I just showed you with the coin. To something new. That comma shouldn't be there. Whereas believe just focuses on what is being believed and assumes that one changes his mind to do so. Are you looking at both sides of the coin or just the one that implies, if there's a heads of a coin, there's also a tails, right? Believing is the heads, tails is the other side of the coin that it's implied that was there. Right? That's the only difference. It's not a separate step. It's the same step. Number four, the Acts 2:38 combination of commands occurs nowhere else in Scripture. Isn't it interesting that if that was the way to be saved, that would be repeated over and over and over again? Instead, it's believe is repeated over and over again. All the way from Genesis 15:6. I didn't count the Old Testament. But Genesis 15:6, which is quoted several times in the New Testament, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's where we first understand about belief and justifications, or if you will, salvation. That's it. One step even way back in Genesis. Nowhere else is the combination Acts 2:38 or any of these others. Repent of your sins and believe. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. It must therefore mean something that the rest of Scripture already teaches. Whatever passage we come to in these confusing passages, and some of them can be pretty confusing, whatever they are, they must means something that the rest of the Scripture already teaches. It can't be in violation of clear passages of Scripture. Repent here in Acts 2:38 is commanding listeners to change their minds by believing what they're being told. They do, and they are then called believers in verse 44 of the same chapter. Number five, Peter uses the term believe often in Acts in place of repent. If they are not interchangeable synonyms, they're at least inseparably linked. right? One side of the coin or two sides of the coin is what I'm talking about there. I think they're interchangeable. But believe is the preferred term throughout all of the Bible. Number six, whatever repent means, it cannot contradict the overwhelming number of passages that speak of salvation as coming through believing as the single step or requirement for salvation. We can't take Acts 2:38 or any other passage and say this is true. I would even say that's true of Romans 10, 9 and 10, Romans 10, 13. We'll get to those. But why say that that verse in that obscure place somehow undermines all of the rest of the scriptures to mean something different than what they say? Right? And that it, that's what we're saying if we use those that way. Whatever those other verses mean, you can say that for anything. It cannot contradict the overwhelming number of passages that speak of salvation as coming through believing as the single step or requirement for salvation. Number seven, summary statement number seven. Whatever repent means, it has to relate and not contradict very clear passages that speak of salvation through belief or faith alone. That's the same term, right? You understand that. Not two terms, one term. Jesus says in John 3:18 that believing on his name is the deciding factor. So repentance must have something to do with a belief in order to align it with such scripture. Paul's message to the Philippian jailer contains simply the command to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing more. So repentance must fit in that command. And if we understand it to be believe is a change of mind, there's absolutely no contradiction. If you add any other step, then all of a sudden, every other passage of scripture is a contradiction. The Bible interprets itself, and we have to be careful not to read into the Bible. Number eight, we cannot expand the meaning of repentance to mean something beyond what scripture says or how it is used in scripture. Again, I believe that good, well-intentioned believers have expanded the term because they've heard it enough and they even use it. They're not sure what it means, but they've heard that if you don't have it, you're not really preaching the gospel. And it's like, well, really, that's not true. We're expanding the meaning to say it's something different. You have to repent of your sins. By the way, I think really the place for repentance of sins is really what believers do is they learn the Bible, you change your mind about sin, and then you stop doing that sin, right? That kind of idea. So we're not saying repentance is wrong. There's an ongoing walk of belief as we learn the Word of God, we respond to the Word of God, and we change by means of the Word of God. Number nine. We must use the term repent scripturally. Nowhere, for example, are unbelievers commanded to repent of their sins for salvation. A phrase used often in conjunction with evangelism today by so many. And again, usually what I hear, and again, from well-meaning people that want people to get saved, they say repent of your sins, but they don't explain what does it even mean to repent of your sins? What does that mean? And even I would even suggest that most people can't even explain what the word believe means or have faith. They just say it, but they don't even know enough to explain it to somebody that won't understand either term. It is true that our mind must be changed to believe what God says about our sins and sinfulness. We are indeed sinners who have sinned and deserve God's justice and wrath. Belief in a Savior assumes belief in the need for one, right? When we talked about the content of salvation, the first SP was a sin problem. You have to understand that you have a sin problem before a holy God. That's why we need saved, right? We're condemned because of what we are and who we are. I do have one caveat at the end, because I have studied all the occurrences of the word repent throughout the New Testament. But the book of Revelation does use the word repent in conjunction with bad actions in four places. These include repent of their deeds in Revelation 2:22. Repent, by the way, that's written to a church, believers. Repent of the works of their hands, Revelation 9:20. Repent of their murders and sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts, Revelation 9:21. And then Revelation 16:11, repent of their deeds. None seem to be in the context of evangelism or being saved. Rather, one is calling some in a local church to repent, and others seem to just illustrate the hardheartedness of unbelievers in the tribulation period. So, two questions, and these actually are identical in meaning. Have you repented? Change your mind about Jesus, the Son of God, who became a man and died in your place for your sins and rose again. Another way to say it means exactly the same thing. Have you believed on Jesus, the Son of God, who became a man and died in your place and rose again? They're not separate ideas. They're the same thing. And belief is the overwhelmingly used term in the New Testament by eight or nine times at least, something like that. So, questions or comments?
In the 2000 event, would they change their
mind? Yeah, it's still the same word. It's what is the context of what they're changing their mind about. Like I say, even with believe, it isn't always in the context of salvation. Same with repent. It's not always in the sense of salvation. Yeah. But it could even be in the context of the acknowledging that that is sin, as God would call it that. Okay, I have no idea what I'm speaking on next week. What do you want to study next week? What's the next hard question? We have Romans 10:13. That's what I'm going to write my book on. It's one of the most misused, misunderstood passages in the Bible. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:9-10 is going to be several weeks of teaching. So we'll see. It'll be another one like this, most likely. So in a few weeks, I'm kind of waiting until the chambers get here. Let's review. This is where we've been. And then I'll make my announcements here. Why the confusion about the Bible? What must one believe to be saved? We've covered all these. What does it mean to believe? What belief is not the necessity to believe? And then we're in the confusing passages in the Bible right now.